This is the Monday, March 21st regular board meeting of the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education at the Education Center at 7 o'clock on Monday, the 22nd. March. This meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There's a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicating agenda items. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda addendum items. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Three things, if I might. On personnel, you have some sheets on employee count comparisons with the same ones that were sent Friday.
Okay.
Secondly, under section 1-2C, roof bids, at your place you have an AIA document, A201. It's standard boilerplate kinds of things. Did not make it into the board packets that went out Friday, but it's been vetted several times by several school districts. And then finally, under I to section D, you have an updated agreement for a positive education program that has a correct effective date put with it.
Great. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item D, resolution to approve the minutes of the meetings of February 20th, February 22nd, February 29th, March 1st, March 10th, March 15th, and March 16th. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Comment? Question? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item E, resolution to approve the financial reports of February 2016. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Verdine, tab 2 is on your
list. Thank you, Chris. Again, 10 slides here. I'll cover one, whatever questions you have, I'm happy to address. Not a significant change from last month. We did receive additional tax advance payment in February from Cuyahoga County. The settlement, I said, likely to occur in March or April. It will occur in March, we now know. When this was prepared, I did not know that. So, and it is running favorably. It should end up concluding slightly favorable as well, which would be a good thing. The timing of the TPP supplemental payment is the only other major variance that we've talked about before, and we do expect we'll receive that money before the end of June in the amount of 90% of the $1.7 million we were expecting, and the other 10% to come later. On the expenditure side, the numbers are different, but the reasons for the negative variances in the personnel item salary and fringes are listed there. Those are unchanged with what's happening there, and we will adjust those when we get to the May forecast, and then also as a result of those additional severance payments, we would like to see a decline in the anticipated salary amounts next year because typically those replacements come in at a lesser salary than the departing employees. Very favorable on the purchase services. Expect that will continue. Running utility costs, obviously one big one, were the decline we talked about last month in our charter community school deductions, some other budgets that not utilized at this point. That may not be utilized. Some of those could, but that certainly helps with the first two items, as well as the offset there. It's the favorable variance in the supplies and materials. The capital outlay, that budget is set. It's just really a matter of timing as to when it's been spent. So would expect to see some favorable variance there. The other objects will largely be decided once we know the settlement charges assessed by the county auditor or treasurer. Once we get that settlement in March, that's typically the big item that happens there. So overall, despite all those pieces, we're about just shy of $400,000 favorable variance at this point in the year. And I don't expect it to be any more favorable than that, actually. Some years we've talked about 3 to 5. I'm sure it'll be there given the negative variances in the personnel costs that are happening this year with those changes that you're aware of. Questions?
So on the purchase services, the reduction in expenses for charter and community schools and utility costs, what's the breakout of that savings from utilities versus charter?
There's more. Those are the two big ones. I know there's more than just that. $400,000. The charter school count is down, I believe, about 12 students. It's about $100,000, depending on what type of identification those students would have in terms of any disability placements. I don't know the exact amount on the utility side, but more than half of that savings is from those two items.
Okay.
And that's all stuff that's for sure in our pocket, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't see that. I mean, charter school kids, 10 could sign up next week, but not likely that it's down that far this year. I would be very, very surprised if anything happened, but the gas savings are certainly real at this point in the year. And we knew some of that was going to happen when the Ohio Schools Council, our co-op, bid out their commodity bulk pricing this year. Their prices dropped significantly from what they had projected to us heading into the fiscal year based on last year. And then in addition to that, now our utilization will be down. So there's actually two benefits that occurred because the pricing that we started the year with was based on last year's bulk commodity purchase. So when that was rebid and priced, not just our district, but there's 100-plus districts in that co-op. So we're all benefiting for the same reason from that.
Sure.
Good. Other questions? Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item F, of the business of the Treasurer CFO. Item 1. Approval of resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission. In tab 3, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Dunn?
That, do you want to do both of those together? The modifications, right? We're good on both of those?
We've got two separate items.
Two items, right, okay. The tax rates and annual resolution, one of those items that I question why those are required annually, but they are. And we'll submit this, and the county will assess the millage that our voters have approved for us. And we're accepting that those are the correct rates that were approved at the time they were approved, which they are. And
that's for county employment.
It is. It happens every year. No matter what district I work in, it happens. No matter what county I'm in, it happens. So it is a function of Ohio Revised Code, I believe. So it asks for your approval of that. But it is correct, so I guess that's the good part. Ours is correct for what we are due. The appropriation modifications, Fund 019 is our other grants.
Sorry, do we need to do a motion on that? Because we have to vote on the first one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Roll call, please.
Yes, I'm sorry. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item F2, appropriation modifications. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Sorry about that. Thank you for getting me on course. Fund 019, other grants. We have state grants, federal grants. These are local grants. And most of them are community foundations. Not community foundations, but from our educational foundation here that provides those. This particular increase is requested because one of our staff members, I believe there's a second one that will be coming, was awarded a grant through Goodyear for some type of science program initiative. I'm not certain of the details of it. But we have received those funds and have budgeted those, so this will enable her to use the grant funds that were received. And Fund 022, last month, we had budgeted that in the appropriations you approved at $7,900 for a round number. Last month, I asked you to approve the transfer of those funds for the stale dated checks that have been lingering on the books in excess of 5 years. That actual amount was $7,928.97. So to be technically correct, I need to ask you to authorize me to spend that other $28.97, which we actually only transferred based on your prior action, so I probably should have had this on last month. But
how are you
going to
spend it?
I don't know. Not on the approach, right?
So it could be hard to find two places.
Money is in the general fund, so I'll make offers on this, but we'd rather have it approved, which will have us in fine standing for the audit on this item.
It's 3 months at Netflix.
That's right.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Murnar?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item G, communications.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
State report card.
Chris, can you make that again, please? Thank you. Do you want to run this? Well, let me get this started. She doesn't trust me to draw.
Okay, good evening. So we finally received our final report card. I know that you have all had a chance probably to look at it. So I'm just going to review the three indicators that we did not see from the last part one of the report card. And so this is our final district report card based off of the 2014-2015 district data. And this time around, we're going to look at the achievement scores, the gap closing, and progress. Okay, so our achievement scores, this is made up of two different indicators. Your indicators met, we received as a district an A, and that meant all students received proficient or higher on the test as measured by the benchmark, the state sets. The next one is the performance index, and we received a B. When you look at this B reflects, so for example, in this area, an A would reflect over the amount of growth you need to succeed or become proficient. So in this area, a C would be 1 year's worth of growth. The difference with this report card that I think is very confusing, you know, probably it is to myself and educators, but also to the general public, is your A's and B's aren't always achievement. It's between achievement and growth, and it's not really well indicated for those purposes. So really this B indicates how well our students did on the test based off of the different levels, meaning limited, basic, proficient, accelerated, and advanced. And now there's a new advanced plus, and we had some kids in that area, so that was excellent. If you look at that last trend area, the 105.3, you can see it was a new test. We have some rigor levels to put into place, but overall we did very well for brand new standards and a brand new test. We maintained our achievement and growth levels. Gap closing. In this area, they're looking for students that are in different subgroups, that they are still growing within the populations as they should be. If you look at the red line that goes down, the reading and math area and the graduation rate, that's the benchmark the state sets. We received a B. Again, an A is over the amount of growth you need to, or exceeds growth. So a C would be your 1 year's worth of growth. We received a B because we just have one subgroup, which is our students with disabilities, is just falling below that proficient score as the state sets. So in order to receive an A, all of our subgroups would have to cross that red line. Is that a little band music doing and so if you look at this, this is the last measure that we haven't gone over yet, and this is the progress measure. This measures our different groups of students, our subgroups of students, as measured by state indicators. Overall, we received an A. It's excellent. Again, a C is 1 year's worth of growth. I think we should be really proud of these scores. Gifted area, we received a B, and then students with the lowest 20% in achievement, and students with disability, we received an A. High school starts in 2018 receiving their own growth measure because they just started with the end of course exams that will begin to measure that. The chart on the right, and there's this chart and there's also the value added data chart that we can look at, but I chose this one because if you look at the bubbles on the chart, you always want to see all of your bubbles, to put it in very educator language, to the top right corner. That means you have high achievement and high growth. Mm-hmm. And so those, each one of those bubbles represents our students within the district based off of the different subgroups.
Dumb question. Isn't it already a lot harder to try to show growth and gifted than it is in some of the other categories?
Mr. Bergine is going to answer this question because I've been like hounding it into him.
She's probably for the same question.
You know what? This is where it's not. All the students, when they take state assessment, are put into different, you could say, quintiles. So when you score, if I score proficient, I would be put with students that scored proficient based off of that state test that year. what the assumption is from year to year, I should pretty much stay within that same group of students. There are students that pop out of that, and they get above growth. And if you go below that, you get least effective or less growth. Same with our gifted students. They'll be at 99%. You would assume that all those students within that bubble stay within there. Anytime they go above and score at 100, or it's then based off a scale score, it's in that 99 percentile, they get above growth. Anytime they go below that, they get low, you know, the unexpected lower growth. So as long as you stay within your population throughout the state of kids that score like you, you maintain your same growth average, if that makes sense.
It's on a curve.
There's more into that grade than just that, though. I mean, there's more, like, how many children we've accelerated. There's how many we're serving. There's AP offerings. Isn't that score have a lot of other things mixed in it rather than just the growth measure?
The growth measure is the growth measure, but there are other things that attribute to why kids will get above growth or stay 1 year's worth of growth or lower.
Yeah, but for the district's gifted score, isn't all of that taken into accountability, what you're offering, or no?
Not on this growth measure, but on the one area for career readiness and college and career readiness, that's where it shows our offerings and how much we can accelerate our kids. This same area has this same for our gifted kids too, it's who we mark as gifted in our state system, and we do that, and so we're ensuring that we're trying to make sure that we so this is that same document. And this is our area for improvement that I want to talk about. When you look at this, our progress scores, if you look in language, arts, and math, so we really did receive excellent scores, but when you dig deeper into the data, this is what gives us an area for growth. And so when I go to the next slide, I'm going to be sharing really all of the practices we put in place this year and the goals that we're going to set up for next year are going to, you know, start from some of this data, ensuring that we have our language arts programs are aligned, that they move from kindergarten first all the way up to the high school, and that our kids are, that we're ensuring that they're getting the correct curriculum with fidelity. Our math programming based off of these growth scores are just outrageously high. You know, very rarely will you ever see 14 as above growth measure, so I think we should celebrate that. Where you really want to be, and that's what's hard when they use green, yellow, and red, is yellow. Yellow is a year's worth of growth. We expect all of our teachers to assist with that. Other than that, we've received, you know, many great scores in the area of math and in language arts in our 4th and 5th and 8th grade. Celebrations. The state's not going to come out with official rankings, but based off of all the data, we were ranked 12th. I think that's excellent, again, for a year or a few years of a new changes in curriculum and new changes in online testing. Our teachers and our students really performed well. 100%, we met 100% of our state indicators in grades 3 through high school. That's excellent. 99% of our geometry students scored proficient or higher. Those are students also in middle school. That means we're placing them in the right accelerated programming. And 96% of our students, third graders, were proficient or above in reading. As I discussed earlier, these were many of the things that opportunities for improvement that I had placed up there before. Those, really, with this new data, it's telling us the same thing. It's really looking to recognizing and responding to the growth mindset. Guaranteed and viable curriculum, we're continuing with that ELA unwrapping and unit map designs, our RTI process. One thing I put in there is provide clarity and rigor to our gifted programming 3-8. And that's something that Dr. Simsek and myself have been working on for the last few months. And again, we have to align in order to ensure that the proper professional development is going on with our teachers so we get that high quality learning inside the classroom.
And take much time to actually celebrate. You had a celebrate slot. Congratulations. Yeah. I contributed to that.
I would point out for the benefit of the district that it's amazing what was done here this year, because all the changes in emphasis and testing in the state caught a lot of districts who typically do very well on their state report cards by surprise this year, and they didn't do as well. And so I think it's a tribute to our people for what they've accomplished here.
Absolutely. Good work.
When we were, first of all, when you say 12th in the state, it's like everybody, I think, could relate to that, because we know how many districts there are in the state, and that's comparative. In
over 600, right?
So, I mean, you see that, and you say, okay, now that's the headline item. I think it was a year ago we sat here and celebrated the fact that performance index that was used then showed improvement in every single one of our buildings. So when we saw the performance index slide up here, did the denominator change, or was it one-to-one comparison to prior year?
It's really hard to compare to prior year because the test is different and the standards are different. So overall, our performance index dropped a little bit, but not significantly. And again, I think it's just going to be, now that we know the test better, we're changing some of the instructional ways in the classroom that we can engage kids, that will go right back up.
Yeah, because I think, you know, whether you're running a production line or something quantifiable like these scores are supposed to be, you're trying to figure out, okay, is it comparable from year to year? And if it's not comparable, then...
Well, something else you have to be really cautious of in the state report card, and we have had some conversations about it, is you're toggling between achievement and growth. And you can't compare growth because it's different cohorts of kids from year to year. And so, again, for me, the report card does give us a lot of information. It makes me ask a lot of questions and engage with our teachers and our administration. But for the general public, it's really difficult to understand all those nuances that are going through, and you can't compare an A to a C, depending on whatever indicator you're looking at, as comparable.
And in the CNN 15-second soundbite world, I think we could probably use, all right, what are the deliverables?
Right.
When I speak to anybody, what should we be conveying? If you could help us with that, given all the things that are changing under our feet, that would be helpful.
So
starting with 12 in the state is a good place to start.
So I have some questions, just because I'm just confused then, I think. So when we see that grade, there's a gifted ranking and there's a value-added ranking. So was that a gifted ranking? I'm looking at ODE. Is that B? And I'm dealing with something.
Right, so I want to make sure I'm looking at it.
Because I'm reading the definition, and it says it takes it. So I guess I want to understand.
So the one with the bubbles?
Yeah, so like those grades.
This is our district average progress for our students in math and reading 4 through 8 in those different categories.
Okay.
Correct. So each bubble represented, and I think that yellow was our gifted students. I used black and white, so
okay.
I can't. I the big bubble I remember is blue, and then that one underneath it was for our gifted students.
Okay, so that score you're saying that the B is just straight value-added growth that has nothing to do with what you're offering or anything?
Right. No, they can, because every school is different. So
sure.
Is there a correlation to all the things we can offer students?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But there's no calculation, from my understanding, that could go in there that could represent that.
Okay.
So, and they say, what's an A? The group of students makes more than a year's worth of growth. It's
okay.
Actually close to 2.
So that grade is just straight.
Yeah.
Growth. Okay.
No, it's because I
have told something totally different, and I'm not saying that she's incorrect.
It's
just
now
I'm confused. Now I'm confused, so I don't mean to frustrate you. But and even on ODE, it says that it's not. So I think we got great scores.
No, I'm just going to be frustrated.
But it's a little scary to go out and explain that to the public if, we're all not on the same page. That's
right.
All. So,
okay. Yep.
And there's another test this year.
And there will be.
So just one clarification on the growth measure. Does that
Does that only come into play if you had the student the prior year to show growth?
No.
So does the metric come from the prior school they were at and follow the student? Because aren't you doing some kind of a baseline to say, here's where you were at?
Correct.
And then now this year, how much growth? Did you have a year of growth? Did you have more? Or is that just at the beginning of the year? Do they not go back?
No. If we have the student, it follows them. What I am not going to say for sure yet, because I know for a fact teachers that come from other districts, their data follows them. Students from other districts, I have not looked that up recently, so I would want to look that up first before I said, like, I want to give an answer, but...
You want it to be the right one.
Yeah, well, right, I don't want to confuse you any more than we are.
The answer's only as good as the error, and then it's done.
Thank you, Becky. Audit results?
I'll take care of it if you don't mind. I always like to report on this because I think it's one of the things we really owe our community is for them to understand how carefully we're watching their money and how carefully we're accounting for it and seeing that it's spent in the right ways. And I think the auditor released, I think it was about a week ago now, the findings of the audit report for 2015, and a superb unmodified, used to be unqualified, but now unmodified opinion about the great job that was done. I think if you look at it, you know, the type of financial statement opinion was unmodified. Were there any material control weaknesses reported at the financial statement level? No. Were there any significant deficiencies in internal control reported at the financial statement level? No. Were there any reported material non-compliances at the financial statement level? No. Were there any material internal control weaknesses reported at major federal programs? No. Were there any significant deficiencies in internal control reported for major federal programs? No. Type of major programs compliance opinion, unmodified. Any reportable findings for recovery? No. You just don't do better. And I think compliments are in order and congratulations for Mr. Verdine and his staff and all the people who work together to make this kind of a report possible.
Many others, thank you, but there's many people involved, as you can imagine. And you don't have to read Cleveland.com today to know that some districts, and it's not the treasurer, but it all is ultimately, but you know, there's a district in this county that didn't receive such a report, and you know, I feel badly for them. I'm sure they'll get it fixed by next time around. I know the people involved, but you know, there talks about a lot of weaknesses in food services, and Kay and her staff do a good job. If not, it would be reflected in that report. So there are a lot of players, and I know Mark Dosen had asked about any types of comments in the audit report. You know, they look at, are you depositing funds every 24 hours? And if you're not, they call you out on it. So, I mean, it gets down into some nitty-gritty stuff. Not every transaction, but it's those ticket sellers that are reflected in that report. It's the athletic director and administrative assistant, food services, my staff, and a lot of people have a lot of play in that, so thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
And sat through the audit report and knowing that auditors are typically not the most scintillating individuals in the world, and the only thing that excites them is if they do find something they can chew on. And I can tell you, these guys slept through the whole report. It was like one guy's name was Ziegler, even, and I still couldn't get him even in a conversation. Good work. Yeah, nothing there at all.
Thank you.
And of course, to your team as well. Thanks for having
us. Right.
Item H, hearing of the public. Does anybody wish to be heard this evening? Hearing none. Item I, new business. I-1, resolve to accept the personnel and contract recommendations detailed in the tab items listed below, tabs 4 through 6, for certified, extracurricular, and classified. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Tab 4 is our certificated staff recommendations.
The one recommendation that we have is Sarah Hanick, and she is our speech-language pathologist at Hilton Elementary. We've identified quite a few more kids as the year has gone on that need speech services, so we are trying to fill the void that is required on their IEP. And what we have came up with the best solution is to offer her an additional 8 hours per week on an as-needed basis to complete those IEPs and work with the services. Leave of absence. We have an employee who has extended her leave of absence, so we're granting her extension. And we still have a lead call, Kate West, intervention specialist. Under tab 5, extracurriculars. Normal for this time of year, the one thing that is a little bit different from previous year is our stage manager at the middle school, Miles Rapkin, is a substitute. Something we haven't done in the past, but the gentleman who was running the program is injured and can't do the work at this current time, so we did find a substitute to keep the program going, especially during assemblies time, or during assemblies this time of the year with all the parents. And then we have classified staff. The one new addition to our staff at Clarksville is Randy Walker, and he's coming to us from Cuyahoga Hills Juvenile Correction Facility. He has previous work in the custodial field and managing a staff, and he's a great addition for us. This is not an increase in FTEs. It's a replacement from a retirement, so we look forward to that. The contract revisions, most of those are dealing with the shifting of internal staff as we open up other positions and hire people. Substitutes, substitute bus drivers, health aid, bus aides. As we continue to go through the year, people get positions in other districts, and we continue to try to replace those to get people in play. And then no change in the recall rank order from our previous board meeting, so we're still staying consistent there. So that's it.
And the employee coming to us from the correctional institution was an employee there, not an inmate?
Yes. Very much so.
I have a question. I was asked about our volunteers for DC, like our parents who spend the night with the kids.
Yes.
Do we list them as volunteers? Do they get background checks?
If they are volunteering and they're in supervision of kids, which they will receive background checks. I have not received the list at this current time, but when I do receive the list, we will.
Okay, well, that's standard protocol.
That's standard protocol. Yes, they must have background checks.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. And I, too, general. Let's vote on I-1. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Now item I-2. Items A through G, tabs 7 through 12. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Item A has to do with a two-hour delay schedule for to accommodate testing at the high school for end-of-course exams. And as we looked at different schedules and how to have students miss the least amount of instructional time, this does it because of the way we have to pull staff for accommodations and for delivery of the tests. Item B, there's a change. We've been receiving a lot of service for internet kinds of activities from North Coast Council. They are changing their name to Connect. There is a change in governance structure there so that rather than having the director of Connect report to a board of directors, that that person will report directly to the Cuyahoga County ESC superintendent. And there's also another change in there that the educational service centers of Cuyahoga, Medina, and Lorraine will pick up on the financial liabilities of the organization should there ever be any. The agreement calls for us to continue to use two core services for Connect for the next 3 years. We currently use 5. We're anticipating that it'll be 4 or 5 next year. So we don't see any problem with using at least 2. And at the end of that 3-year period, then any financial penalties that exist in, that currently exist for members of the organization, when should they choose to leave the organization, will go away. So we're thinking we win on the district level end in a number of ways, and it's our hope that through the change in governance and the change in reporting, that the services of this organization will become better. The contract for roof replacement, Mr. Coed.
We've just taken a very conservative approach moving forward with our program through the funds. Even with the encumbrance of these funds, it's our expectation to have a little over $60,000 left in the reserve fund to get through the remainder of the year without really any planned expenditures. So that that reserve is there in case something were to occur. And then moving into next year, our planning is to be very proactive and deliberate and work on developing the plan that was set forward with the PI committee last week to develop projects to, again, be out next spring. So we'll have a very strong position to know the funds that are available to do the work as we move into next spring and next summer.
And then item D is an extension of an agreement with PEP. And I need to correct the date that's here in this item. The agreement for tonight is for service commencing March 21st of 2016, ending on June the 3rd. This is an extension of a current contract that we have, and I'll ask Dr. Simsek to.
The original PEP contract was on the rubric at the beginning of this school year. And what I did was I contracted for the typical 35 days because you get a better rate than going daily. And then the reason that that original date on the proposed extension was February is that's when they approached me and said, you know, you're not going to make it till the end of the school year with the amount of services that the students have been requiring without extending that original contract at that same rate. If I did not propose that or move forward with that, then we would be paying a daily rate beyond that 35. And I waited as long as I could to watch to see how close I got to those 35 to see if I would really need them. That was before we went that direction. But they provided a lot more than they have in the past. They used to just do direct support to staff to help write functional behavior assessments for students and to assist with behavior plans. But this year we've expanded them a little bit, and that's why we utilized those days a little bit more quickly than anticipated also. We had an increase in need with students, but we also utilized them for staff development to be more specific and proactive. For example, on the February 12th Professional Development Day, one of their behavior specialists provided staff development to all of the bus personnel. And we got some really good feedback on that. They've gone to all of the staff meetings to talk about services that they can provide to support teachers and also some strategies. And they did that at the beginning of the year. So that's what, you know, the combination of the increase in the student level of need and that we were also utilizing them for some proactive specific professional development. We were set to expend those additional 35 days sooner. But that was the reason for that data.
I needed it. Item E is to approve the contract for agreement with MSB Consulting. They file for our Medicaid reimbursement. They work closely with our staff in terms of having staff report time to them so that we know what the reimbursements can amount to, and we try to be as efficient and effective with that as we can to maximize the reimbursement amounts we're qualified for. And this agreement is for services for this school year only. And then F and G are items for trips, one for overnight travel for choir and orchestra, and another one for softball trip to Myrtle Beach.
Questions or comments?
You know, just a real quick thing, Chris, as I was looking at these base bids, the only thing I would say is alternate 3C there, the guys that we've selected are so far off everybody else. just make sure they understand the spec. I don't know, it just seems like they're...
We've actually had conversations with them specifically about that. And I've worked with this contractor before.
It just looks so different. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Is this taking the place of anything else, or is this new?
It's new. I just came from our orchard booster meeting, so I apologize. I want to make sure it's here in time. In the past, we used to go to New York all the time, and last year we went to Chicago. We want to do something different this time. And then the Smoky Mountain Music Festival is only three different weekends. It's the 21st, the 28th, and May 5th this year. So we're asking to go to the 21st because the other 2 weeks would impact our AP testing, which I know the timing of it is. But we've been trying to lay this out for about a year. How do we do this? Because we anticipated spring break was going to be in March and still asked to go in April. Now the spring break and this trip, just the timing looks a little bit suspicious, but it had nothing to do with that. It honestly didn't. The only time we discussed it before. The students are going to go and record in the RCA studio in Nashville. We're going to Vanderbilt to have a workshop in the college. They're going to perform in a music park and then also go to an adjudicated event. So it's a lot of performance besides going to see one of the most musical cultural cities we have.
Fantastic.
So that's awesome. What, just to do something different instead of having the same trip over and over and over again.
That's great. You're planning something like that. Thank you. On behalf of our parents, thank you.
Thanks for the work for yourself and your volunteers and everybody who's trying to make this happen. It's a massive undertaking. How many students do you think will go?
When we went to Chicago, we took 4 buses, 220. Wow. So we'll probably anticipate the same amount. And from looking at the cost, because we bid it out to 2 or 3 other companies, the first company was $935, the second one was $850, this one I think is $785. So and we've been using them for a while too, so it's a good price. Actually, I think it's cheaper than the Disney trip this year, and it's comparable to what we've been going when we used to go to New York. So we also have fundraising in place in the summer to help the kids offset costs.
Great.
Thank you.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Item J, committee reports.
We'll take chat room.
Is he going? Is he background check back there?
It's probably the last financial liaison audit report for a little while anyway.
He took care of it, yes.
Fantastic.
Done. Thank you.
PI?
We met, was it Thursday afternoon? Mm-hmm. I think if I remember right. Again, Chris laid out kind of the plans of what we have in front of us, how it might impact other considerations, some of the facility management things, obviously, and some of the options that we've looked at, and just basically that we have a lot of continuing repetitive investments that we continue to have to make to keep these buildings running. I guess it's a safety. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big number of deferred spending that's lurking out there, but that came from the GPD study that got pulled into that. So, but the idea is to keep everything operational and not commit ourselves down a path that, depending on what we do with facilities later, we don't find out, we put money someplace and we're going to undo that. So the idea is to be shrewd about that and keep everything operational until we figure out the bigger picture.
Transportation appeals?
No need.
Fantastic. Policy?
We don't need till April 28th. So.
We have a new set of NEOLA updates that we're working our way through.
Can't wait.
We'll be bringing things to you, man.
CBCC?
No, I think Brick passed. Did you pass? Did they pass?
They did.
Oh, great. Yeah. I wasn't laughing at that.
Split vote.
That was in question,
wasn't
it?
Split vote, yeah. Because I wasn't there, right?
That's right.
Like, you made it. So that's what's going on.
Number 6, STEM. And other reports.
Well, the beach ball, the foundation, wonderfully well attended. It was really, they have a wonderful video that's on the foundation website for us to share that our BTV person put together, and it's just really, it's all good stuff. It's, I don't know, I have a final number yet on what's been raised. That committee will be getting back together soon, but it was great. It was just a real feel good. Our students were there for National Honor Society with their sweatshirts. Yeah, it was good. Most of you. Three of you.
I was sick.
It's okay.
No, it was very enjoyable. And,
there, see, so don't go bad. I was just trying to get you to not make her go bad.
You know, and the other thing about the video is very effective in giving a face and understanding, all right, what projects happened because of the beach ball and the foundation, and it was very appropriate. I think a lot of people got a lot out of that.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And the thing is with the robotics, especially when you see the robotics and somebody's talking about it, and they're like, oh, that came from you, and It's a nice connection. So
fantastic. Item K, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee per board policy 0166, item A, and for the purpose of reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment per board policy 0166, item E. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Will not be an executive session. When we come out of executive session, there will be no more public business conducted this evening. Thanks very much for
your
time.
Good for you guys.
Thank you.
Less than an hour.
Thank you. Yeah.